This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour number two of the Hoffman Show here on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn, YouTube's where you can watch us at the Team 980, streaming live daily. And daily at 5 o'clock, we do this.
Today's top story from the perspective of someone who's there.
You are looking live.
This just in.
Not my beat.
And during football season on Mondays, it has been tradition on this show to welcome in Michael Phillips, and it is football season. This is the show, and we welcome in AWOD. No, I'm just kidding. Michael Phillips. What's up? What's up, my friend?
It wouldn't be football season without us chatting. Great to be with you. And yeah, we got actual. I don't know how live that football was, but we have semi-live football to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, it was live football. It just wasn't, like, good Commanders football, which now actually, Michael, means something, which for most of the time that you and I have covered this team, that has not been the case. It's like, oh, no, that's kind of what we expected. Not anymore. Michael, by the way, the reason I joke, he and AWOD, of course, the two hosts down on 910 The Fan in Richmond. I saw that you guys were out at training camps. So they're doing live coverage. You can check out that on all the same places you listen to our show. So make sure you check out our sister station in Richmond, 910 The Fan, where Michael hosts MP on the mic down there daily. So, Michael, like if I ask a scale of 1 to 10, how significant is Friday, the outcome, and kind of how it went down? What number do you put on that?
Man, it's a pretty close to zero, Craig. I made some roster moves today, so somebody didn't like what they saw. But on the whole, that was just unrepresentative of what you're going to see this season. And I think, you know, I don't want to overly simplify. Football's a complex game, so we get to talk about it for hours on end every week. But this thing rides with number five, right? I mean, I think that it begins and ends there. And when you don't have him on the field, it's a very different product. I think that he's just so much of what makes this work, what's accelerated the timetable, what led to the trades over the past year for Laramie Tunsil for Marshawn Lattimore, was seeing just how good Jaden Daniels is. And so when he's not on the field, and also a bunch of the other starters, you can make a commentary about depth. You can make commentaries about, you know, Terry and his contract. But I think it's really hard for me to draw any conclusions about what the football might look like this season.
Yeah, no, if I'm going to answer my own question, it's like a two, like 1 point for like guys like Dom Hampton, who obviously that was his last game with the Commanders, and that's unfortunate for him on a personal level. And there is something to the flatness they came out with, but like it's 1 point on a scale of 1 to 10. And I thought your social media post was hilarious. It's like, this has been proving what I have said all along, that the Commanders can simply not afford to lose 30 starters and be competitive against another team's starters. I thought that was a good summation, Michael. That was good word usage by you.
I bring it that hot every single day, 10 to noon on 910 The Fan in Richmond. Some people, it has melted their radios before the takes get that hot.
That or it's a Richmond summer, one of the two. Michael Phillips is with us here on the Hoffman Show. So we haven't had you on in a while, so we can hit a couple of bigger picture things here. When you look at the Terry situation, like, do you have strong feelings with what you know, what you've been able to learn about it, on kind of, one, where this is and why it's there, and two, where you think it's ultimately headed?
Well, I'm intrigued. I've certainly found myself asking, what does it look like for this thing to go into the season, which is not something I expected all summer long and into training camp. I don't have any reporting to share with you because not many people do. It's been a very tight-lipped situation. What I can tell you is I have had conversations with people in Terry's camp, and they say, you know, I think the number has to start with a three in their mind, that if the number doesn't start with a three, it's disrespectful to Terry and what he's done and who he is. I don't have an in with Adam Peters. He plays his cards very close to the chest. What we've seen, you know, in the Adam Schefter reporting and in the national reporting that has trickled out, 23 is the number you've heard a couple times, right? Comparable to the Courtland Sutton number. That's a huge gap. And I get that there's ways to bridge it. I'm super biased here, Craig. I'm team Terry all the way on this. I think the number should start with a three. And I think it is a little disrespectful to think you can get him on that kind of discount using only the leverage of play for less money and we're going to franchise tag you next year. And I think that is a crappy way to treat a guy who's meant a lot to this franchise and means a lot to Jaden Daniels in a big season. And I also understand that this is football, and unfortunately leverage often does not work in the way of the player. And if Terry wants to get paid to play professional football, he's going to have a limited number of options come September and October, other than to report and suck it up and do it and play on the franchise tag next year. But I see this firmly from Terry's direction, and that is that I think $30 million a year is absolutely appropriate for a receiver of his caliber in this market right now.
Yeah, like, the thing that I've struggled with, Michael, is I think Adam's really smart, and I think this front office is really smart, and it seems so obvious that you should just, not only because of who he is and like there's an emotional pull without question, but because you've made all these trades, you've done all these things to say this year's really important. Like, we should be doing everything possible to make sure this year is as smooth of sailing as possible, and they're not. So like, what is it besides just, well, we have the leverage not to, that makes them so scared, it feels like, to do this and to budge, and that the two sides are still so far apart? I'm just not, like, from a logic and emotional standpoint, I'm with you in that I just, I'm kind of like, give Terry what he wants, because Terry feels like he's earned that. But I guess I have enough respect for Adam to be like, there might be a reason he's not, and I don't have all of the information.
Yeah, but we'll start with crossing one off the board, and that is, oh, you've got to pay Jaden Daniels a lot of money, right?
Well, correct.
That's not going to happen inside this contract. And if Terry were asking for four guaranteed years, they would leak that out, and we'd all turn against him right away. You know, the DK Metcalf deal is guaranteed for two, essentially, and Jaden Daniels will not be getting paid in the next 2 years because NFL rules prohibit it. As soon as he can get paid, they're going to throw a pile of money at him, but that is a long time from now. That is down the road. In terms of why you might not, I mean, this is the first major contract Adam Peters has negotiated, and I can understand wanting to set a tone moving forward, right? That, you know, if you feel you lose this negotiation, it makes it harder to do every other deal down the line because guys will feel they can hold out. You look at these Dallas guys, right? They know the plan. Jerry says, I'll never budge. This is ridiculous. And he, you know, besmirches the guy's name, and then he'll pay him on the eve of the season because he's Jerry, and that's what he does every single year. The worst thing that could possibly happen to Adam Peters would be to have a reputation like that. So I could see, first big deal, a desire to set a tone. I just think, you know, for a lot of reasons, this is the wrong guy to set the tone with.
Right. Like, I've had conversations with some other media brethren that are basically go like this. Well, what are they going to tell the next guy? Like, are you going to tell Frankie Louvu? Are you going to tell this guy? You can tell that. I'm like, yeah. Like, what are you telling them? You're not Terry. Like, yeah. Terry's number, I don't think 17 is going to get retired unless they, like, win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years and he has 1,200 yards in each of those, in which case we're having a different conversation. And whatever they're paying him, it's like, good job on that one, no matter what, basically what the number is. But he is probably, the way his career has gone, a ring of fame type of guy. Like, his name is going to be up there. And unless your name is also going to be up there, I don't have a huge problem telling you you're not the guy whose name is going to be up there. Like, I that is one area where I tend to agree with you, even if I understand the other side of it fundamentally.
Yeah, and I certainly get as well, there is a contract written down, and that the only way for Terry to truly get what he wants, potentially, is to not play football, which is tough to do and gets tougher with every passing day. I just don't think that's the guy you want disgruntled, or that's the guy you want not feeling the love from the organization after everything he's been through, everything he's done. I just come back to how far apart those numbers are, and that's a big gap. That's not a let's meet in the middle gap. And I do think anything less than a number that starts with a 3 is not going to be palatable to Terry's side, which makes this interesting. How do you craft a deal that allows both people an out here out of a really sticky situation?
Yeah, to me, it comes down to it's going to be something similarly structured to the DK deal, where there's a huge last year that he's never going to see the agent and he get the status of X, 30 on the dot $1 million per year, but the guarantees are maybe a little bit lower, or the deal is not as long, or whatever the thing is they have to do to funny money it up and make everybody happy. Like, both sides are going to want to save face to an extent, but I don't know. Like, the other thing about that is it just feels so obvious that that's where this should land, because it's in the middle, and the fact that they can't seem to get it done makes me scratch my head and wonder just how stubborn each side is being. But alas, that's the Terry situation. What about the rest of the receivers, Michael Phillips? How concerned are you? Let's bring back the concernometer, as seen 8 minutes ago in this segment. 1 to 10, how concerned are we about the receivers not named Terry McLaurin?
Well, I feel really good about Debo. Let Terry go, Debo's cooking good, but I think he's a great number two to have. He's versatile, he makes your running backs better. I think he's a tremendous addition to this team, and I think bringing him in was an excellent move. It drops off after there. If you could tell me Noah Brown's going to stay healthy for 17 games this season, I'll sign on the dotted line right now, and I'll feel good about this group. Terry, Debo, Noah Brown. That's an NFL caliber wide receiving core right there. I think everybody feels good about that running out of the tunnel. You got two very major issues, though. The lacerated kidney last year, that's no joke. And then obviously a knee injury during the spring workouts. And those have a tendency to linger as well. So you've got big question marks there. We're all waiting for the Luka McCaffrey leap. We all want it to happen. Will it happen? I think there's a question mark there. You've got guys suggesting Michael Gallup could be a pro receiver after sitting out seasons. That feels risky to me. And then Jalen Lane, who he's a rookie. I love him. Love him as a returner. But Jalen Lane, as a number three receiver in the NFL, playing a significant percentage of downs, now we're gambling here. It's not ideal, Craig.
No, I do think, like Kimes made this point, last year we were wondering who wide receiver two was going to be. I'd rather be worrying about four, basically, if you say Noah and Debo are two and three, and now we're talking about wide receiver four. I'd rather be worrying about four than two. But I guess the other solace, if you will, is they've done very well in the veteran free agent market over the last year. And so last year, one of those guys was Noah Brown, who this time a year ago was a Houston Texan. So who is going to be that guy? Like, if I had to place a bet on who wide receiver six is behind Lane and Luke and the other three guys that we mentioned, it's going to be other. It's someone who's currently on a different team. And so that's unsatisfying for good entertaining talk radio purposes at the moment, but it does feel like that is a door they're going to have to kick down for a second straight year, considering how poorly and how inconsistent the Gallups, the Chris Moores on down the list have been.
Well, let me make good radio again and tie this back to
Thank
the Terry
God
situation.
Somebody should do it.
Because everyone's talking about Terry. Part of why they do so well with the veterans, one, Adam Peters' reputation, but two, people think this is a place they can win and win quickly and win a ring even potentially this year. That's not out of reach for these guys. That's why Von Miller comes here, right? That's right. Why you can get an extra year out of Zach Ertz. That's why you need Terry week one, right? These veterans don't want to hear, we've really structured our cap space well in 2028. This team is positioned to be a contender in the 2029 season because of prudent fiscal management right now. They want to hear, we're doing everything we can do to win you a ring right now. And by doing that, that's how you get those guys in future seasons, right? The Von Miller coming is great. Von Millers are only going to come in the future if this Von Miller has an excellent experience here and tells his friends, which is what happened with Zach Ertz last year, with Bobby Wagner last year. Word got around. They liked being here. They thought this team's a contender, so you bring more veterans. This thing could come to a screeching halt at any point. It's a beast. It works, but you got to keep feeding it.
100%. You got to feed it with the veteran talent. You got to feed it with the young talent. And that they've definitely tried to get that balance, but they've also put themselves on a bit of a high wire with the trades and all that stuff. Michael Phillips with us here on the Hoffman Show. MP on the mic, 10 a.m. to noon on 910 The Fan, which you can listen to on the Odyssey app, as well as iHeartRadio, TuneIn, et cetera, et cetera. Speaking of the draft picks and getting it right, Michael, there is part of me that wants to credit Adam Peters for moving on from Dominique Campton today. There's also the part that's like, ooh, you had a big experiment with that where you were like, let's draft this guy in the fifth round, which is a useful pick, and switch his position, and we are not even into his second season. He played one game on the active roster, I believe, last year, as it basically was a redshirt year, and now you're already moving on. So what are you doing with the Dominique Campton situation?
Well, it didn't work, and I credit them for moving on quickly, and I hate wasting a fifth-round pick, but also I think they were working under a different timetable during last year's draft, too. I really genuinely believe that Jaden getting so good so fast changes a lot of things in the building, and if you let them redo that draft, maybe they're not thinking home run with that pick. They're thinking, how can we get a solid contributor out of that pick, because those guys are available in the fifth round, as you know. But if they're thinking, all right, we're going to win 6 this year and we're going to win 8 next year and Jaden's going to develop and he's going to become what we think he can be and then we're going to win 10 the next year, you're building on that 3-year time frame, you're more okay maybe with buying lottery tickets in the fifth round of the draft as opposed to getting bona fide contributors. You see a little bit with Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt with Bill this year, right? You're maybe a little more comfortable gambling in those later rounds, those later positions. I think you're going to see a more risk-averse strategy moving forward. I think it's hard for me to second-guess the pick now, knowing how good they are right now on August 11, 2025, because at the time of the pick, if they had said, look, this guy might pan out, he might not, we're taking a risk, I would have come on your show, Craig, and I would have said, what a great move by Adam Peters. You're not in a win-now time frame. Now is absolutely the time to take a chance on guys who could be really good. And then number 5 came along, and now it's a different discussion.
I think that's a really good point. I'm fine with it in general because you're not going to hit on every pick, but the perspective of what a back end of the roster spot means right now compared to what we thought it meant a year ago, I think is also a very good point. And obviously, I think they knew that there was a risk this wasn't going great or wasn't going to go great, which is why they took Cade Medrano. Like, clearly that role is important to them. They're taking multiple swings at it, and all they need to do is hit on one of these late-round guys, and it's a success, and that's the nature of fifth- and sixth-round picks anyway.
Yeah, and you know, to your broader point, you know, talking about Adam Peters, I trust him. I also think it's fair for us to come on the radio and critique things he does as well. You know, I hope I'm wrong. I don't like the Javon Kinlaw move. I don't sure. see that. I see the size, but that's where I'm like, I don't think I would have done that if I were him. I would handle the Terry situation differently if I were him. Doesn't mean he's not a great general manager. I just don't think we're at the point where it's like blind faith, blank check for everything just yet.
Of course, and it never should be. Like, that management should always have their moves. Like, if you do enough homework as a media person, you're allowed to question them. Just you're also allowed to sometimes say that they got it right and you got it wrong. And
no doubt.
You should probably approach it that that's going to be the case, especially when someone is as good as we think Adam Peters is. And that's, I think, a healthy way to be a critic, if you will. Last but not least, Michael Phillips here on the Hoffman Show. Is there anything else that you're following, like a super keen eye, next 2 weeks of training camp headed into the season, non-Terry McLaurin contract division? Like, what's the thing that you're... It, to you, is the most significant question, if I were to correlate it to, like, this will matter to them in the regular season, wins and losses, playoff positioning, the whole deal. Outside of Terry, what's the most important thing to you?
I would say I'm most excited about Josh Connerly's development, and I'm curious whether he is the week one starter or not at that position. That intrigues me. I don't know that that's a huge wins and losses bottom line impact. because I do think you've got very capable backups on that side. Nick Allegretti, Andrew Wiley, right, can fill in for Cosmi and Connerly until they're ready, until, you know, Cosmi's healthy and until Connerly's ready. But I think that he's as close to pro ready as you could possibly get in the first round of the draft, played in big, big time games in the Big Ten, obviously had that playoff experience, had, you know, he's got everything you need on a resume in terms of like this guy could adjust, but also it's a really hard position to play in the NFL. And I got no problems at all if they say, we want to start this guy on the bench and let him watch and learn. But I'm excited to watch him when he does, because I do think that's your left tackle of the future, obviously. So the more we get to watch him, the better off it is for everybody.
Yeah, I also think it raises the ceiling if he is ready to go because of his athleticism. But as you mentioned, Wiley's, you know, this year, what's the overall, like the plus you get there versus the minus of rookie mistakes compared to a lower ceiling, higher floor of Andrew Wiley. I don't know if it matters that much. For me, I was thinking about it as I asked the question because I didn't actually have an answer, but I think to me it's corner. It's like, how good, Marshawn Lattimore athletically is back to being Marshawn Lattimore. Now he's got to figure out the timing and like getting back to just being totally Marshawn Lattimore, because buddy, Trey Amos looks like a hell of a football player on the other side. And so all of a sudden they got two, we went from zero corners to two. That's math I can get behind. Famously, not great at math on this show, but I think that's good, Michael.
I was told there would be no math today.
So sorry about that.
Lattimore's consistency and development, absolutely a top five issue in any countdown you're doing about this team.
Nice. Love it. All right. Michael Phillips, MP on the mic, 10 a.m. to noon is where you can catch him. You guys live at camp tomorrow with like this scrimmage thing happening?
AWOD is live at camp tomorrow. I am back in Richmond NASCAR week in Richmond. Under the lights Saturday night. We'll have some of the drivers on tomorrow, but we'll make some time to talk Commanders as well.
Vroom, vroom, everybody. Michael Phillips with us here on the Hoffman Show. Thank you, sir. I very much appreciate you.
Take care, Craig.
Michael Phillips with us here on the Team 980. We get back at 5:30 with Around the NFL.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
Muchas gracias a Miguel. Much thanks to Michael Phillips for coming on the show. It's the Hoffman Show, mostly in English, sometimes in gibberish, and occasionally a few words in Spanish here on the Team 980, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Check out the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. 5:30 during football seasons, we go around the NFL. Come on. It. There we go. Okay. All right. We got it. Anthony, on Friday's show, we had already gone through some of the games because there were some on Thursday, but I do want to revisit one because your Colts, the Anthony Richardson of it all. You okay? You okay, buddy?
It's actually sad to see, to be honest. Very sad. Literally, like, my whole thing with the Anthony Richardson situation, the dude really cannot stay on the field. And mind you, like, I think the hit he took really was a vicious hit. But you know how many times quarterbacks have been hit and, you know, bounced right back up?
For sure. It just does seem like, I mean, he's a big man. He's very strong. And for whatever reason, not that durable. You get some more calcium in them bones or something? I don't.
Something, man.
I'm joking, but, like, I have no idea what you do
at that
point.
2 days later, Craig. Literally.
Yeah, I guess they figured out how they could protect the hand, but Daniel Jones is going to start, and he was the fourth overall pick, man. Like, that's a rough one, and a lot of GMs don't survive that. Like, Chris Ballard said a lot of good stuff, so I'm kind of glad that he, that's not everything, but, like, you better get quarterback right next year. Like, if they don't have a good enough season for him to keep his job, and then he doesn't get quarterback right next year, like, That's going to probably be the end.
If you're in a QB battle, are you going out of the game?
I mean, depends. Does my hand work? Like, I would rather go out and not. If he stays in and he plays like crap, that's not going to help his cause either. So I just don't know enough about the injury.
I dislocated his pinky.
On his throwing hand?
But then he was on the practice field throwing again like 2 days later.
They were able to pop it. I don't know, man. I try not
to
judge
dudes
on going in and out of injuries because I know that I am not tough enough to play NFL football.
Hey, look, me either.
So I'm not. I think it's fair to be a critic on a lot of stuff where it's like, yeah, I couldn't do that. That's one where I'm like, you know what? That feels like a bit of a cheap shot in my. At least today, you know, I'm not in an air conditioned studio. I'm just surviving on the fans.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. You are wearing a hoodie, though.
Yeah, I mean, the fan actually isn't that bad. Like,
you feel it's kind of normal for you?
Yeah.
Okay. It actually has cooled down. I feel like the sun dropped, and it actually feels all right now. The other thing I'll say real quick, the other game that I want to just mention something about one of the teams from Bengals-Eagles. Obviously, the Commanders play the Bengals next on Monday night. Landon Dickerson, they avoided disaster with him. He went down and was carted off the field in, like, a open practice thing yesterday at the Link. And it is just a meniscus situation, according to Adam Schefter. I don't even know, is he going to miss time, Anthony? I didn't get to read the second half of that.
Yeah, so he had to do his, he had an MRI, but they have not disclosed the amount of time that he'll have to miss.
Eyes return for opener. There we go. So I have a procedure on the meniscus, and then he'll be able to come back. So they'll just go clean it up. So there you go. Good for the Eagles. Bad for everyone else.
Did that just break?
Yeah, not that long ago.
Oh.
All right. The other Friday night games, Lions, Falcons, nothing. Like, if you could name five players who played in that game, you're either a mega college football fan or you are in way too deep in preseason football. Nobody played for either team in that game.
Marco Helms with the big hit of the night.
Good job, Anthony. There's one.
Did you see that hit?
I don't think I did.
It was a clean hit, and he got flagged for it.
Him and Jeremy Reeves can shake hands as they send in their fine money. Because I hated that Revo got fined. How do you find the dude who, like, I'm going to drop my shoulder into the dude's, stomach, right on his hips. I'm going to put my head right next to his hip, just like I'm supposed to. And then he drops his head and changes his body angle. So now my head makes contact and it looks like a spear. That's BS. Justice for Revo. Anyway, Browns-Panthers. Browns 30, Panthers 10. Shedeur Sanders, 14 of 23, 138, two touchdowns. He looked really good, Anthony, in the highlights and stuff that I saw, a little bit of extra that I saw. There were certainly some, like, rookie moments. You're trying to escape out of the back of the pocket. But, like, the way he moved into the pocket, a couple of the throws that he drove in, his willingness to attack the middle of the field, like, there's some stuff there, which – makes sense because he, for a guy that many people thought was going to be a first or second round pick to go in the sixth, I understand why that happened intellectually, but he's probably a better prospect than a sixth round guy.
Fifth. Yeah.
He wasn't sixth? No, he was fifth. Mm-hmm. You're right. They took Gabriel in, what, the third?
Yeah. But now I was excited to see Shador go out there. I'm not going to lie, Craig. I think everybody will. This is probably one of the most watched preseason games, like,
probably
in a while, just because, you know, I think a lot of people are rooting for Shador. They feel as though, you know, he got screwed a little bit, you know, in the draft process. But he went out there. He, you know, displayed how talented he is. And, I mean, that's all you can really ask for. He led three scoring drives. Like, that's pretty dope. That's pretty dope, man.
Yeah.
And also, like, the guy didn't get to work with, like, any of the ones. So, like,
right.
Timing, rhythm, like, all
right.
That.
They've been all over the place. And they, you know, it was him and then it was Snoop Huntley who came in for the end for them. On the other side, Bryce Young played two series, had a sick fade ball down the sideline to Tet McMillan. Oh, my God. That was a ridiculous crazy catch from Tet, the first rounder for Carolina. Giants and Bills, Jackson Dart. Did a couple things, 12 of 19, 154, and a touchdown. Giants win 34-25. More to be seen from the Bills side of this on Hard Knocks this week, I am sure. That comes out tomorrow night. But, yeah, I mean, it's the start. It's preseason. Nothing happening for the Bills on their side of it. But for Jackson Dart to show a little something, like, that's got to be encouraging to feel good inside. A little warm and fuzzies for Brian Daboll.
Yeah, Jackson didn't look too bad. I was really impressed with the Giants defensive line, man. I'm not gonna that front four and the depth that they have on that unit, it's a little scary, Craig. I'm not gonna lie. We have them week one. So
their front is for real. Abdul Carter, you know, you see the kind of athlete that he is. Michael Parsons tweeting about him. Like he's real twitchy. He's real twitchy.
And they got him up everywhere.
Yeah. Texans, Vikings, just super duper bummer for Rondale Moore. He goes out and is probably going to miss his second straight season. JJ McCarthy, I actually watched a little bit of this. McCarthy was like, he looked a little helter skelter early. I did enjoy watching Sam Howell play a little bit in that you're like, oh, like this looks like a guy who's played NFL football playing against a bunch of guys that haven't. Not that he was like amazing. He was 11 of 13 for 105. But it is kind of funny sometimes. And like the announcers were all over it in the game where it's like, oh, Sam, he's got some experience. He threw for almost 4,000 yards in Washington 2 years ago. And it's like these other dudes have never played a real NFL football game before. And so you can see that. But the bigger thing for them was, one, the injury to Rondale Moore, a weapon who would have been a nice piece for them to have, especially in the first three games when Addison is out. But also J.J. McCarthy getting out there, made some nice throws, had some other misses, some mental mistakes. But all in all, like okay performance by the second-year rookie, if you will, in J.J. McCarthy after he missed all of year one with the injury.
Yeah, it was solid. But, yeah, the Rondale Moore injury. I just hate injuries, man. And I feel as though after the first week, like, there were just so many injuries that piled up, like, left and right. And it's just like, God dang, why can't we just, you know, be immune to these kinds of injuries.
Can this be maddening? Can we turn injuries off? Like that would be cool. I would enjoy that. All right. When we get back, we will take a look at the rest of the game. So if we haven't talked about your team or a team that you're interested in yet, we will get there next after a look at what's trending here on The Hoffman Show.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style.
Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Back to the Commanders. We identified, Anthony, six players that we were focusing on. And I would say we did a pretty good job on the identification category.
Nice.
So we will get to that coming up in just a few minutes. 6 o'clock, our pick six at six. Right now, though, we continue our journey around the NFL, and we do so including one of the craziest things I have ever, and any of us have ever seen on a football field. However, we pick up with our next game, and that's one game away. First, pick up with Cowboys and Rams. The most interesting thing that happened in this game was CeeDee Lamb got run over on the sideline by an official because who's not used to not playing, was like, ooh, Jonathan Mingo's behind the defense. We got a touchdown. I'm going to walk out here in the white strip. Bang! Absolutely destroyed by the side judge. Gets penalized for it. Come on. Like, could you imagine if he got seriously hurt?
I'm not. He probably was in some pain.
Yeah, like, I'm glad he didn't because I don't want him hurt. Also, I feel like Cowboys fans would have been unhinged at that official. But, like, that's on CD. Like, you just can't do that.
Yeah, definitely can't do that. The ball was a little bit underthrown, which I was shocked. Joe Milton has a freaking arm. But, yeah, that's insane. That's unacceptable.
Milton, 17-29 for a buck 43, a touchdown and a pick. Stetson Bennett powering a Rams offense that started strong, finished strong. 16-24, 188, two touchdowns. Sean McVay continuing to insist that Matthew Stafford is just fine, and he is actually hoping to return to practice this week. The craziest thing I might have ever seen on a football field happen in Steelers-Jags. Dude kicked a 70-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Did you watch the highlight?
I watched it. It would have been good from like 74, maybe
yeah,
five.
One, it had room. Two, so it's the end of the first half, and that's why they were like, "Yeah, let's try it." It's because if you miss it, like, no, you're not putting your defense in a bad spot. Even in the preseason, you like don't really want to do that. It was so bizarre. Like, you're just kind of used to the certain amount of space on the screen between like the players where they're all lined up at the line of scrimmage for the field goal and the field goal. And, like, it felt like the camera angle was broken and the screen was warped. Because it was just, you're like, that's too much space. Why are they standing all the way back there? You don't kick field goals from there. And then he just absolutely bangs it home. So, Cam Little, congratulations. 70-yard field goal in a 30-25 loss for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jag starters played a little bit in this one. Trevor Lawrence, 6 of 7. 43 yards in his time. No touchdowns. Mason Rudolph, 9 of 10 for 84 before Skylar Thompson came in and threw three touchdowns, 20 of 28 for the former Dolphins quarterback turned Pittsburgh backup. Travis Hunter, 2 catches, 9 yards in his debut, played some on both sides of the ball, but we'll see, obviously, how that plays out in the regular season. But the big story, 70-yard field goal, a legitimately ridiculous thing that happened in real life in an NFL preseason game. By the way, Little, 4 for 4 and 1 for 1 on extra points. Good day for the Jags kicker.
Yeah, no question. To be honest, I think, I don't know, to me, in the first preseason action, it seems as though Travis Hunter is probably going to play receiver, and I think maybe like some DB on like obvious passing downs or like it,
that seems to be how they're training him, but we'll see.
We will see.
We'll see. I that feels a little backwards, but you know, then again, Liam Cohn's an offensive guy, so I'm sure they have a plan. Buccaneers and Titans, Cam Ward looked fine, 5 of 8, 67 yards in his only action for the number one overall pick. The Buccaneers won 29-7. Anything else from this game that you care about, Anthony?
No, I'm taking Cam Ward, first quarterback off the board in fantasy.
Why?
No, I'm joking.
Okay.
He did look solid, though.
Look fine in the Titans offense, which means nothing. Justin Fields back after that. Remember, he went down in training camp, and they were like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Luckily, he's been fine. 3 of 4 for 42 yards for Fields. Also, 2 rushes for 14 yards and a touchdown. 30-10, the Packers get absolutely smashed by the Jets. Jordan Love just 1 of 5 for 7 yards in his only action. Saw a little bit of action for Matthew Golden, his first catch. 1 for 7 there. Yeah, that's kind of it. The Jets
won 30. Receivers again would love anyway. They were dropping the ball all over again. I'm just like, bro.
What?
I did this last year. I would have thought y'all fixed y'all hands.
Guess not. Packers receivers, you got until September. Get your hands right. Cardinals and Chiefs, 20-17. Cardinals win this one at home. But Pat Mahomes does play. And I think that's one of the interesting things for these teams is like how many starters played. Now, Mahomes only threw one pass. It was 1 for 1, 1 yard, 1 touchdown. So, like, it's not like they exposed him, but like just getting him out there, getting the starting offense out there, there's something to that just to kind of get a feel for it. I like, you know, Andy Reid's kind of, I think, more or less always been more on that camp. And I think I kind of default to that camp too, as opposed to the Sean McVay, like, we're never going to play anybody. So, like, when I saw the NFL Network, like, alert that I got that was like, Patrick Mahomes is on the field for the Chiefs. I was like, why? But you get that little bit of rhythm, get those juices flowing, limit the exposure by mostly handing the ball off, and then roll from there and don't really care about the results.
No, I think that was perfect.
Kyler Murray, 7 of 8. Jacoby Brissett, 5 of 8, 2 touchdowns for Arizona. Other than that, let's see. What other games of significance were there? Let's see. We got 3 more games in general. Broncos, 49ers. Broncos, 30. 49ers, 9. Jarrett Stidham. Love the, like, oh, I remember when that guy played college football. 14 of 15 for the Broncos, 136, 2 TDs. Dolphins and Bears tied at 24. Tyson Bagent, 13 of 19 for 103 and a touchdown. This game almost had a crazy ending. There was like a pitch play type of deal, you know, circus, chucking the ball all over the place, and it almost got out. But ultimately, the Bears were able to get a stop, and it finishes tied at 24. Saints and Chargers. Tyler Shook looked pretty good. 15 of 22, 165, and a big old long touchdown for the Saints, but that was kind of the end of their offense. 27-13, Chargers win it going away. Taylor Heinicke, DJ Uiagalelei, and Trey Lance. By the way, did I say that right? I always feel like I mess up that dude's name.
Don't ask me.
Was in college football, like 3 different schools for 1,000 different, whatever. He went 1 for 1 for 49 yards, according to the stat sheet.
Oh, that's actually tough.
Yeah, Trey Lance, 7 of 14, so still no Justin Herbert as they keep him on ice until the regular season in L.A., but They won, whatever that's worth. On the QB battle on the other side, Shook, 15 of 22, 165, a touchdown, a pick. Rattler, 7 of 11, 53, 0-0. Jake Haner, 5 of 8, 41 yards. No touchdowns, one pick. Confirming my guy Tony Squares, his quarterback rankings from last year. Jake Haner, worst, dead last of any quarterback who started a game. Jake Haner, you Jake Hanered it. It's what it seems like in that preseason.
I hate that for him.
I do too. Sorry, Jake. All right, when we get back to the Commanders. Commanders, Patriots, we identified six players who we had our eye on. How did they do? We take our list from Friday, review it on a Monday, next on The Hoffman Show.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow, Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.